On this episode of Monmouth Weekly, we speak with new chairwoman of the Board of Trustees, alum Gina Piscitelli. University President Patrick Leahy gives the latest update on COVID and the plan moving forward for campus at the end part of this fall semester. This is faculty member Matt Harmon. It's time for episode number 19 of Monmouth Weekly. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Well, it is good to be back with everyone as we turn the calendar into November and try and make it to the end of the semester. It's certainly a crazy time around the country here in New Jersey and even more local to Monmouth County between the coronavirus continuing, between the election taking place and all the craziness that goes on top of that. It is always nice to be able to take a little bit of a deep breath and get a fresh breath of air here on Monmouth Weekly. Crazy enough to say, it's episode number 19, an undertaking that President Leahy and I started all the way back in March when Monmouth first went remote prior to spring break. President Leahy, I say a very good afternoon to you as we record on a Monday afternoon and hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Matt. Nice to be with you. It's been a little bit more than our normal 2 weeks, so glad to be back.
It's no problem. I'll send the invoice with vacation time included. That won't be any problem whatsoever. And I know, President Leahy, you are excited, as am I, to speak with the new chairwoman of the Board of Trustees at Monmouth, Gina Piscitelli, two-time graduate of Monmouth, who is also good enough to give us our time as well. Chairwoman Piscitelli, thanks for hopping on today. Hope all is well with you in terms of family being safe and trying your best to deal with the craziness of the world.
Good afternoon, Matt and President Leahy. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we were really excited to be able to have you come on and so many things to talk about. But maybe if you can just start with this position that you have. I know you took over as the chairwoman in the beginning part of July. July 1st, I think, was your official start date. And just maybe the process of how you got involved with the Board of Trustees in the first place to moving up the ranks, I will say, from vice chair to now being the chairwoman.
Sure, Matt, I'm happy to. Joined the board in 2010 after being an active participant and chair of the Leon Hess Business School Business Council. And it was a transition that I was overjoyed to take part in and, served for several years before serving as vice chair. Actually, I had the good fortune of being vice chair to two chairs before taking on the role of chair, and had a wonderful role models to work alongside with, as well as everyone else on the board. So I definitely see us all as equals, and it's a great group of individuals to work with.
You know, I have to say, I am also a two-time graduate of Monmouth, like yourself, in 96, but I had to go to 2004 till I finished my master's degree. I'm looking at your bio, and you go 01 to 02. I want to know where I went wrong, where it took me 8 years to get my master's, and it took you just one.
Well, you had to do really well in those classes too, and I know that the criteria was pretty stringent at the time. So I think that you had the opportunity to waive a certain amount of credits if you stuck with the same discipline. That may have been the issue, Matt, that you ran into.
No, I think I'm just slow and try to.
I was about to jump in and say that, Matt. So. Nice of you to admit it yourself.
I mean, it took me 8 years to finish my master's. And fortunately enough, believe it or not, President Leahy, I forgot to share this with you when we were talking before. I just finished my doctoral degree as well, and that took me 11 years. So I'm in no rush to get anything done, but it's really more about the process than anything else.
Pardon me, Dr. Harmon, for not knowing that. Congratulations.
That's, you know, let's tie back in, President Leahy, because I know when we had on Chairman Plodwick several episodes ago, you talked about just how important the relationship is between you, the president, and the entire board, but clearly whoever at that time the chairman and at this particular time the chairwoman of the board, just how important it is that you do kind of see things, maybe not identical, but have that like mindset in terms of where Monmouth is headed.
I think it's the most important relationship to a university president beyond, you know, his or her spouse, of course. It is the most important relationship, and where board chairs and presidents can work really well together, that means great opportunities for that institution. You can imagine if they don't work very well together, how challenging that could be. As Gina said, I have about 35 bosses in some respects. You know, each member of the Board of Trustees serves such an important role here. But let's just be honest, how important the leader of that board is and that chairperson. And it is the most important relationship for a university president. And I can just tell you how glad I am that Gina is in this role. In fact, I spent a lot of time with Mike Plodwick and Gina prior to accepting the job at Monmouth. And it was in large part because of how well I think we got along and how closely we saw things together that I felt very comfortable coming to Monmouth.
You know, clearly, Chairwoman Piscitelli, when you look at it, and I say chairwoman with nothing but utmost respect, because you are the first woman in the university's history to ascend to the top of the ranks, in essence, of the Board of Trustees. And listen, I know that the ultimate goal is always to say we want the best person. But when you are the first to do something and you kick that door in, you hop that hurdle, whatever cliche you want to use, I'm sure it does have just a little bit more of a special meaning to it.
Absolutely. And it's not personal. It's for every other alum, female alum, and every other female student that's currently enrolled at Monmouth. You know, we attribute so much of our success and knocking down those doors, if you will, by the women that come before us and the women that, you know, that led by example.
President Leahy, you know, I think it would be fair for you to comment on this as well, because Monmouth wants to be that school. And it's something you and I have talked about when issues of, you know, social issues have come up, and we've discussed them on the podcast, whether it's been race and now in this particular case, gender. Monmouth wants to be a school moving forward that is setting the bar high so that other universities, other colleges, and maybe even just the surrounding areas looking to Monmouth and saying, not wow, but great job. Way to go, Monmouth. Way to put that step, you know, be the first to do that.
I want us to be a leader in this area. Our board met for the 263rd time last week. It was the first time a woman chaired that meeting. And it's I think it's a great source of pride for me personally. I'm just really grateful that I happen to be the president when that happened. It's such a great, as Gina said, it's such a great example to, you know, to all of our students, our men and our women, but in particular, are the 60% of our student body who are women. And it's just really important that they see women in leadership positions. It's probably appropriate for me to quote the now late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But she said, women belong in all places where decisions are being made. And I want that to be reflected here at Monmouth, not only with Gina as the chair of our board, but my first hire here at Monmouth was putting Rekha Datta into the interim senior vice president and provost position. Incidentally, if I may, I'm so proud of the fact that she was nominated to be the next secretary for higher education here in the state of New Jersey. And she went through that process. And it was announced last week that she did not end up getting the job, but that she was the runner-up in a bona fide national search for that position. And I'm so proud of Rekha and the way in which she represents Monmouth University and, you know, higher education in New Jersey. I think, quite candidly, she's a little relieved that she didn't get the job. But kudos to her for being involved in a national search and emerging as the runner-up. So I hope that's just further evidence of the way in which Monmouth for years has been, you know, ensuring that women are represented in senior leadership positions.
Yeah, well said, and a heartfelt congratulations to Provost Dada as well from myself. And when you look at it, Chairwoman Piscitelli, you know, you talked about being vice chair for the time that you were and having two chairmen to look up to. When you think of the most recent, and that, of course, being Michael Plodwick, who's a 1982 graduate of Monmouth, as yourself, we mentioned 2001, 2002. How important do you feel like it is to have someone that has that immediate connection to the university, someone that no matter the time period has seen Monmouth grow, has seen Monmouth develop, and has seen the potential that Monmouth still has?
Yeah, I think it's wonderful to have alum represent on the board without question. But that doesn't mean that you have to be an alum. We have so many friends of the university that have been longstanding friends of the university and serve on our board. And they have that perspective. I still look to many of them, many of our former chairs that participate on the board. And I turn to them to get that history and that perspective. And, you know, I think it's a nice combination, much to like what Pat said. You want to have everyone represented, and you want to have diversity of thought, diversity of age, diversity of gender, race, and just have a community where you're collaborating together, working towards the same end, right, to help the university advance.
The new chair of the Board of Trustees, Gina Piscitelli, class of 2001-2002, joining us here. It is Monmouth Weekly. I'm faculty member Matt Harmon with University President Patrick Leahy, just kind of talking about the process. And I got to ask you this one without question. Who in their right mind signs up to be the chair of the Board of Trustees smack dab in the middle of a pandemic?
I often joke that I must have drawn the short straw. No one was vying for this role during a pandemic, but you know, we're all thrust into this situation at the same time, and you know, it's not ideal for anyone. And you know, I think as long as you have the right intentions and you work together in coordination with the president, you know, we're just here in support of the president and his cabinet. And you know, you just want to continue to provide that while they work through the heavy lifting of the day to day.
You know, it's interesting because President Leahy and I have spoken so many times on our 18 previous episodes, this being the 19th, just about, you know, where Monmouth sits right now in this COVID coronavirus world, decisions that have been made, the planning, the phone calls, all the behind the scenes stuff that probably most people, you know, listen, in this particular day and age, I'm sure assume are taking place, but probably don't give it the credit. You being part of the board at the start and then taking over as the chair now, I'm sure you're smack in the middle of constant conversations of what the next move is for Monmouth.
Absolutely. It's a moving target always. And I think we're, like I said, we're all in this together, whether it be through the university or our personal lives or professional lives. And, you know, we are very fortunate to have President Leahy and his cabinet and the staff and the faculty that we do on campus, because their priority is the safety and health and wellness of the students and the community of the university, which is first and foremost.
President Leahy, you know, we'll talk about some decisions that were just announced earlier today in terms of the direction that Monmouth will be going. But, you know, to follow up on that, the planning and the continued overhaul of procedures, protocols, ideas, analysis, it's not anything that has stopped or slowed down since you and I began this all the way back in March.
No, I always say, to folks around campus, I know people are getting tired. I know we desperately want to be on the, you know, the tail end of this pandemic, but we must keep our eyes focused on dealing with the pandemic, because we are in the throes of it right now. And if you talk to some of the public officials around the state of New Jersey, they are warning that, you know, much of the worst of it might still be ahead of us. And nobody wants to admit that, Matt, but I think that's where, with the support of our board and all the others who collaborate with me, I just have to try to keep the university community focused on this. You know, what are, as you say, the protocols that we put in place that everyone needs to subscribe to in order to try to keep the campus as safe as possible so that we can at once keep everyone safe and continue to offer as personalized an educational proposition as possible. So it is a continued challenge for me.
Chairwoman Piscitelli, if we can swap back and talk about your connection with the school, being an alum of the business school, your master's as well, and now in the banking industry as a senior vice president at Ocean First Bank, which obviously has a fantastic relationship with Monmouth overall and from the athletic perspective as well. What's your connection in terms of being involved still, for lack of a better term, being involved with the university and still maybe having somewhat of a hands-on vocal role, more specifically even to the business school than just being the chairperson of the board?
Well, I still remain an active member of the business council. It's near and dear to my heart. I still mentor students of the business school, and I will always have an open phone policy, open email policy for students. So if they want to run through a resume together or just talk through some opportunities, I'm happy to do that and provide some help any way that I can.
When you think of it, the idea that Monmouth, and listen, being a faculty member for a long time and working in our Department of Communication, I've always made the argument that Monmouth and President Leahy, I think, would agree that Monmouth is so situated in this perfect spot in between New York and Philly from a communication standpoint and the media world, but even from the business side of things as well. There are so many opportunities for students that if they just make that effort, make that step, make that connection, they can have such a wonderful 4 or 5 years while they're in West Long Branch to then set themselves up for success later in life.
Absolutely. They're well positioned to really hop over to Philly or head into New York or even within the tri-state area, within the New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, rather, to find a great internship. I know our bank offers some great internships. Actually, President Leahy met a few Monmouth students that were participating in our internship about a year ago. So, I think there's a lot of great opportunities right here in the home market and very close by just a ferry or a train ride.
You know, it's crazy, President Leahy, to say this, especially in today's world, but the idea that Monmouth can make the step forward and become a, I won't say bigger, but better, more successful, more prominent university than what even we are right now today, it does still kind of echo with the idea that we're a hands-on place. We're a one-on-one faculty to student connection, communication type offering school where there's so much back and forth. But to Chairwoman Piscitelli's point, there are so many opportunities for students, and our alum base continues to grow and really leave a great footprint of the school.
Yeah, we just had last week our fall virtual open house. I mean, as you know well, typically we have thousands of people here for our normal open house, but we had to convert that to virtual open house this particular fall. But we still had really great turnout, and I, of course, always get a chance to tell people why I think they should consider Monmouth. And you know, I always talk about what you just said, like unparalleled opportunities for a school, an undergraduate student population of our size. It's the combination of those things that's really, really unique. And then you take that and you place it here on a campus that is second to none in an incredible location, you know, not only here at the shore and close to Asbury Park and Red Bank, but you get on the commuter train and in an hour and 15 minutes, you're in the heart of what I always call is the capital of the world, New York. It's an incredible mix of features that makes Monmouth so special. And we are poised, as I think we've talked about in one of our previous episodes, to go from being a, you know, well-respected regional university to a bona fide national university. And I look forward to sorting the university from that one sort of classification to the top one, a national university.
And clearly, Chairwoman Piscitelli, you agree with that, or I'm sure the conversation would be very different between you and President Leahy. But specifically, what do you think it is that Monmouth needs to do to have a larger footprint within the state of New Jersey, within the region, and then at some point nationwide?
You know, I think President Leahy sharing that message that he just presented to you and to a broader audience, I mean, it just, when I hear him speaking, it confirms to me that we have a great president in President Leahy, and he knows how to position us well and how to take that to the broader audience. I think that's, you know, we're just going to continue to help build that brand identity and help carry that message forward.
President Leahy, ironically enough, as we are recording right now, and I mentioned we would have some news about the remaining part of the fall semester here, your email just trickled into my inbox. So I think it's a good time to maybe talk, and we can certainly get Chairwoman Piscitelli's take on it as well. The idea that Monmouth will, after Thanksgiving, not have students return to classes that might be right now currently in person or hybrid. And I say currently because at the beginning part of the semester, you and I talked about faculty having the choice. Would they be in person, hybrid, or strictly online with different modes of delivery? But for those students that are involved with in-person hybrid classes after Thanksgiving, they will not have to return back to campus.
They won't have to. They're welcome to, but they won't have to. And this is really just the latest in our very methodical way in which we're trying to make decisions around the pandemic this fall. You know, we knew back in the summertime, Matt, that other institutions had made decisions even that far, that long ago, to go remote after Thanksgiving. And we just decided intentionally that we would wait to make that decision until we got a little bit closer to the actual break, so that we could take advantage of the most current public health information that we could in order to make that decision. Well, we started looking over the last number of days. We had promised all along a decision on or about November 1st. And we just decided that given the number of states that the governor has put as quarantine states, 41 now we're up to, that means that any of our students who go home for the Thanksgiving break from any of those states would have to quarantine for 2 weeks on their return. Well, if you quarantine for 2 weeks, that means you're going to be confined pretty much to your room, and you're going to be doing your academic work remotely anyway. So we just decided that the safest thing to do would be to convert academic programming online for the remaining 2 weeks of the semester following Thanksgiving, and then the additional 1 week of the exam period. That allows any of our residential students to go home, and if they choose, to stay home. But we will allow students who want to come back, like athletes in particular, to come back and to live with us for those last 3 weeks of the semester. It's again an attempt on our part to give our students and their families as much flexibility as possible as we together navigate the fall semester.
Chairwoman Piscitelli, as you hear President Leahy talk about that, you know, he mentioned the size of the board You know, I think it's 32, which is the number. I'm not sure if every position right now is full, but when you discuss that amongst the Board of Trustees, is that something that there's unanimous support for, or with so many people on there, is there differing opinions as to how Monmouth goes about their business from semester to semester?
No, it's unanimous. And, you know, obviously there are differing opinions on occasion, but when it comes to COVID and the current situation, the entire board supports what President Leahy has just released and you know, the changes that have been put in place in order to continue with the health and safety of the students and the campus community.
President Leahy, I do understand at this particular time, there's been no definite decision in terms of what will take place mid-January. Traditionally, Monmouth always starts the day after Martin Luther King Day, whatever that Tuesday this year happens to fall on. But that will be something that over the course of, I would say, what, the next month to 6 weeks, there will be some more clarification on that?
Yes, we now with this decision sort of made, and we will ask all of the folks on campus, in particular our faculty members, to go ahead and make their adjustments to get us through this fall semester. We'll ask Student Life to contact each one of the current residential students to find out what their intentions are following Thanksgiving. So that now with this decision made, we get a chance to execute on that one. At the same time, we will continue in earnest our planning for the spring. We are contemplating at this point, similarly offering to our students a mix of programming in person, hybrid, and online, once again, to try to give them as many options as possible, to give them as much flexibility as possible. We are likely to start our spring semester a week or so later, and then to gather back that time over the spring break by basically canceling the spring break. So that would allow us to start a little bit later, keep the campus as quiet as possible during the middle of the winter, and then start up in late January, take back that time at spring break, and still be able to finish on time in early May so that our summer sessions are not affected. And as you know, our summer sessions are getting each year more and more active. So we don't want to mess with the summer sessions if we can avoid it. And I think that this plan will allow that. But we're still walking that through some of our governance structure here to make sure we get everybody firmly on board. But the spring semester, we hope, will look in large part like the fall semester.
Tell me if you could, President Leahy, you being one of the university presidents within the Metro Athletic Conference, if there's been any decision on winter sports, on spring sports. I haven't heard anything definite winter-wise one way or the other, so I'd imagine spring hasn't quite hit the table yet. But sports like swimming, like men's and women's basketball, indoor track and field, things that traditionally take place during the course of the winter months.
Yeah, right now I can tell you that men's and women's basketball is planning to go. They are under very strict NCAA guidelines, mimicked by very strict MAC guidelines. But the plan is to allow basketball to compete. At this point, no spectators of any significance, unfortunately. But we will stream all of the games for our campus community and for all the Hawk fans out there. Swimming gets a little bit tougher. It's tougher to work through the safety protocols when you bring that many swimmers together in an enclosed surface in a swimming pool. So we're still working through that. Indoor track and field similarly creates some unique challenges given the number of athletes who participate. I guess we all feel that they will have their opportunity to compete in the spring nonetheless. So even if we couldn't have an indoor track and field season, we aim to have an outdoor season. And then, as you may recall, we have moved our fall sports to the spring, And as long as they all go, as long as there is no major change to the public health guidelines, at some point in February or March, every single one of our 23 sports could be competing here on campus. That is, if we can figure out a way to accommodate swimming. But if you think about it, our other winter sports will be going, our fall sports will have been moved to the spring, and then our spring sports will start up. So we're going to be very busy here on campus. But one of the things that is really a benefit for Monmouth is the quality of our physical plant and our athletic assets. So that'll allow us to be able to accommodate, hopefully, all of our student athletes this academic year.
Chairwoman Piscitelli, when you hear President Leahy talk about the return of a sport like men's and women's basketball, and then looking ahead to the spring, I am an alum, you're an alum, so you know just how important sports and clubs, activities, I don't want to limit it to just sports, but everything that goes on in Monmouth from a student perspective, when the campus is busy and buzzing, just how special it can be.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing brings the campus community and the students together more than the activities, right? The clubs, the sports. And, it was disappointing that for all of those athletes that they didn't have the opportunity to compete in the fall, and being able to present that opportunity, albeit at a different time and, you know, at a different time of the year, we're all hopeful that we're able to deliver that to the students, because it also brings the alum back to campus and the extended community.
President Leahy, last one for you. Looking at the updated numbers in terms of COVID, Monmouth right now, 362 recovered cases, 26 active. So I will say that number is a stark difference from where it was prior to fall break and the decision to have classes go remote for the 2 weeks going into fall break. The hope, I'm sure, is to keep that number as low as possible going into Thanksgiving and let everybody try and enjoy the holidays as much as they can.
You said it, Matt. I mean, before we broke for that 2 week period a few weeks ago, our case counts were way up. I mean, 190 at one point. So to bring them down from 190 to into the teens, basically, was a Herculean effort on behalf of so many people here at Monmouth. And all those recovered cases, thank God, they're recovered. There are no serious lingering health impacts. They all served their isolation period successfully. They're all deemed to be healthy and have re-entered the campus community. Now, we did have a few cases over the last few days, which has had those numbers, just tick up a little bit into that, I think, 26 that you mentioned. So we're watching it closely, but we need everybody's compliance for the next 3 weeks in order to get, safely to the Thanksgiving break. And so I just repeat again and again, with all the healthcare protocols that are out there, I think it can be summed up pretty succinctly in mask up, back up, and wash up. And I stole that from a friend of mine who's the president of a university down in South Jersey, but he gave me permission, incidentally, to use that. But mask up, back up, and wash up. And if we all just do those simple things and incorporate those things into our everyday life, then we are going to be able to keep the spread of this virus to a minimum and continue the semester. But it's going to require all of us, as you point out.
I am glad to hear there are no copyright infringements coming your way. Chairwoman Piscitelli, as an alum and a current faculty member, I congratulate you on your position that you assumed in July. Look forward to the board under your direction. I know you said it's a group task, but you are the chairwoman and the first woman to occupy that spot in Mama's history. So congratulations, and thank you so much for coming on and giving us some time here today on our Monmouth Weekly podcast.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me.
President Leahy, we will talk again soon with any updates. As always, we invite everyone to go to monmouth.edu for the most up-to-date COVID and Monmouth information. And as always, sir, we invite anyone to reach out to you or I via social media or email for anything that they might want to hear on a future podcast coming up.
Yeah, thanks again, Matt, for everything and for your support of this podcast.
Well, we have episode number 19 come to a close. Look forward to what will be episode 20 the next time around. As we say goodnight, a reminder to get out there and vote and be part of the process, no matter who it is you're going to vote for or what election you're going to vote for. That is a great part of being a member of the United States of America. For Chairwoman Gina Piscitelli, University President Patrick Leahy, this is faculty member Matt Harmon, wishing you all a great rest of your day. Thanks as always for your support in listening to Monmouth Weekly. We will talk to you again real soon.